Hello everyone and welcome to this presentation. Today I'm going to present you a container designed for embedded world and chosen by the big cybersecurity challenge launched by the French government named Redpack. But first, let me introduce myself. So I am Clément Beignet and I'm working at IoT.bzh in Lorient in France as an embedded Linux engineer for 3 years. And IoT.bzh has 30 years of open source expertise, from Vexworks, Tizen, to become the first contributor of automotive grade Linux. And we are now working on our product named Redpack. Quickly, what is Redpack? Redpack offers a platform for continuous delivery and maintenance of embedded systems, incorporating any type of evolution like, you know, functional bugs, security patches, and so for a period of 10 years or more, and try to do it in a rapid and reproducible manner. The issue is simple. Today we are missing an essential string to our bow, and we are not the only ones. No embedded actor has it, which is a high performance secure isolation solution of applications that is compatible with the embedded world. Because of their popularity in the IT desktop domain and their ease to use, containers are now an essential and complex component of IT security. However, in the embedded world, the constraints are strong. Resources are limited, like CPU, memory, and prohibit the duplication of the core components. The potentially limited connectivity imposes partial remote update capabilities, and in a critical system such as an autonomous car or ship, single point of failure is not an option. The objective of Redpack is to develop a new security model based on minimalist embedded container in a white box mode, which will ensure that containers can only use resources and security constraints defined precisely, while reducing memory footprint and system resource consumption. In this presentation, we will see an overview of Redpack, starting from the motivation for a new container, an illustration of the Redpack concept, how works the hierarchical model and the RPM management, to end with a comparison of the performance with other containers such as Elixir and Spawn or Podman. All container isolation solutions used in the embedded world today are from the IT or desktop market. They implement an isolation with the hosting system that is diplomatic suitcase. That is to say, a black box model where the internal OS does not control the internal elements of the container. In fact, this model is not auditable and does not guarantee that security updates to the embedded OS are applied systematically to all containers. There is currently no container technology adapted to the current rest of embedded systems, so the solutions used today are not really secure. Linux supports a wide range of isolation techniques, and if we forget about marketing and stick to the pure technology, it is clear that the choice of one technique over another is a matter of trade-off between isolation, privileged delegation, and resource sharing. So let's have a quick reminder of available isolation solutions that Linux provides. So first are hypervisors. They isolate and share hardware resources. As they require the OS to be duplicated, this allows the user to mix incompatible systems such as a real-time OS with a Windows system or other Linux distributions. And the move from hypervisor to Linux namespace introduced the notion of kernel sharing with a unique instance of kernel share across all virtual machines. The older Linux containers listed here as IT containers, as Docker, Elixir, have a private rootfs and run a complete subsystem, usually a specific Linux distribution. And as they impose a private rootfs, they remain very independent from the hosting platform and are well equipped to run a complete subsystem entirely. More recently, the containers labeled here as desktop containers have introduced the notion of sharing certain occur, if I can say that, use space components. This desktop continues work without privileges and have gained popularity in the Linux world mainly due to the associated application shop like AppImage, Snap and Flatpak. Nevertheless, and regardless of the value offered by these different isolation models, it is important to bear in mind that none of them target the requirements of the embedded world. They mainly deal with Linux fragmentation, creation and abstraction layer, not allowing an application to run on any Linux distribution without having to distribute a dedicated binary package per Linux version. There are simply no application containers today that extend sharing not only to the main OS but also to the entire system and requires no special privileges. That's the reason we propose Ratpak, because in addition to traditional container isolation for file system and core OS, resources such as RAM, CPU or network, we also need to address the onboard hardware constraints, which generally require that system overhead be kept to a minimum. So no duplication of rootfs, no duplication of platform libraries, to keep RAM usage as low as possible and minimize the container boot time to a few tens of milliseconds. And another important aspect is to address the cybersecurity risk, a single global and consistent security domain is necessary. So the containers should therefore function as a white box to avoid this concept of a diplomatic suitcase where you never know what is inside. And finally, it is clear that you can't update a submarine like a telephone. The system must be fully auditable and must strictly define what packages can and cannot be installed. So to answer these issues, the schema shows how Ratpak is globally working. So at the top of it you have the control tools that offer Linux for most of the containers and that Ratpak has to provide. The namespaces, of course, they are the base of a Linux container. The C groups, they can restrict resources or access. Zcom to filter system calls. Capabilities, they are needed to do some specific actions. Ping is a good example on some systems. It needs a specific capability. And also the mandatory access control that are an essential part of security, and they provide some rules. They allow to create rules to restrict access to process between process and files. I won't detail this feature here, just to know they are quite common in containers. On the left yellow part, you have the storage and disk that is used by the container in order to share resources with, of course, the system. So, for example, system libraries, or with parents, because we will see after, but Ratpak as a representation of a tree, parent-child tree type. Another important issue for security is to be easily auditable, as we said. So a config file is used to entirely describe the behavior of the container. And finally, the container should be able to have a package manager in order to know several stuff like what packages are installed, which versions and which CVEs are applied, etc. As I said, Ratpak has a tree structure of type parent-child, where each element is called a node or a red node, and each node can be a container. In fact, the idea is to gather resources between different containers running different type of applications. So this team represents an example of a possible organization of containers. So here you have different platforms like Redpesk or AGL. Inside of Redpesk, for example, you have different profile like IVI or HTML5. which can have all the Redpath dependencies, and inside several projects or applications that running into them and that are constrict respecting the tree and the structure of all containers. So another idea is to inherit from security constraints from parent. Indeed, Redpath defines that each child cannot bypass its parent constraints. And in fact, it can be seen as like you can see on the logo, the like have the behavior of a Russian doll. So let's have a look deeper into a node. A node is an element of the hierarchy, and on this example, you have platform, profile, project nodes. As you can see on the left, on the storage on disk, it is stored as a rootfs snippet following a classic file system tree. And at the runtime, inside a container, everything is remounted to a flat architecture. The slash is in TMPFS, and system or parent dependency are remounted to specific directories. And after the behavior of Redpath is to work with this new file system. And all of it is entirely configurable with config files. So let's have a look to the config file. So the config file describes entirely the behavior of a container at a certain level of hierarchy. So a config part has several parts, like the headers that represent some information about the node, like the name and alias or a date, something like that. The exports part that define mount points, an environ part that define environment variable, and a config part that defines of configuration of the control tools of the node. Here you have the config part of the node, and as you can see, you can define the namespace you want to share, say groups that are in V2 versions, capabilities and seccomp. So now you see the export part that defines how elements are mounted into the container. So you got several modes which defines how stuff are mounted and also how it is seen in the hierarchy. So private means that it is private to the current node and won't be mounted on children. And it is also possible to generate some volatile file. In this example, you have etc password, which is generated thanks to the command getent. In this hierarchical model, all of the config files are inherited by children, and a child cannot bypass constraints from parents, whether it be for the config part or export part. For example, if a parent that has its own net namespace, a child can't share the net namespace with the system. Here, another key point of Redpath is the package manager that allow to install package inside of a node. So for that, each node get its own RPM database and an installation is done by node. As I said, a basic principle of Redpath is the resource sharing, and at a package level, it means that a package installed in a node cannot be installed on a child. So Redpath introduces a database aggregation, that is to say, an installation inside is done with the sum of parent databases. And in a inside container level, it can be seen as a unique database, and so the dependencies are handled like on your system. So you can install twice the same package. Finally, you can see that the installation of a package is quite standard from a classic package manager with standard commands like DNF, with an additional option, the Redpath, which is the path where is stored your node on the disk. So now let's have a look to the performance of Redpack. So the measurements you see on the table were done on three type of board. So QEMU on an Intel computer, NXP board, and Xilinx UltraScale Plus. Here you have two types of performance. The first one is the starting time, which is quite important on embedded systems, especially where there is a big constraint on start time. So for the starting time, each container launches catdevnull 100 times, and for each iteration, the time is recorded between and after the command, and this is the difference you see on the table. So here, the starting time is very interesting for embedded, and it's quite satisfying because Redpack was also meant to do so. And the second measurement is about the memory usage. For that, each container launches multiple processes, and for each of them, it's the amount of used memory of their processes that has been added up to get the total used memory. So the memory usage is quite similar to LXA, so it is quite good for us for now, but there are some points to be careful. So each level adds some times in memory, and to know these tests were done at the first level. And some other feature like executable mount mode can be very greedy too, so it really depends on the configuration. And for this measurement, it was done with the default configuration. So in conclusion, Redpack is designed to match constraints of embedded world by sharing resources with not only the system, the main system, but also parents in a hierarchical model. It is also meant to be totally manageable with RPM packages. And finally, in a security aspect, which is quite important, and we don't really see the total here, maybe for another time. It is totally auditable, and the concept is to work as a white box. So now, for now, Redpack is still in development, and the sources are available in GitHub, as you can see. But you can also directly use it on our embedded OS called Redpack OS by installing the Redpack package on it. Thank you for your attention.